But we're continuing from the, excuse me, from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhyalila 1, text 300. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhakti Yoga Shloka Pade Parama Shantosh Prabhura Karnate Ashi Karela Pravesh. As he devotedly recited the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, with great satisfaction, the sound of his recitation entered the ears of the Lord. You may occasionally hear me slurping hot tea. Omegana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Mansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Mayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from New Jersey. I'm bunkered down in a safe, good place. I should mention also that at 11 o'clock, I'm going to have I was supposed to have a class at Jai Kishori's, and due to this virus thing, I canceled the class, but I'm going to give a Zoom class. I guess that's this, but visible. And if anybody wants to be on that doesn't know the information, just send me an email, and right after the class, I'll send it to you. I'm keeping this class as just the audio. I mean, you know, I guess I could. If anybody has an idea that we should do it with seeing me, just let me know. I'm a creature of habit. I don't kind of change. And every medium has its own message. I kind of feel there's something nice about just hearing. Anyway, it's been working for so many years. But if people, you know, I could also change and give the option to actually see me. Okay, so, yeah, it's amazing phenomena. I guess this crisis is on everybody's mind. I think I'm going to speak a little bit more about that at 11 o'clock. But I'll elaborate on one basic realization I had. And sometimes you get a visual in Krishna consciousness that kind of works. And my visual is Krishna's like the sun. And the sun has an energy. And that energy is pleasing, and it's heat and light. But even though the sun's so powerful, a small object such as an umbrella can cover you from that heat and light. doesn't cover the sun, it covers you. And in the same way, our false ego, which in kind of my study of Krishna consciousness, I think more than anything else, it's this desire for superiority rather than service. And that kind of cover, in the same way that an umbrella covers our eyes from the sun, the energy of the sun, the false ego covers our consciousness from the energy of God. And the energy of God is that prema or love or our relationship, prema pumartha mahan, which is the greatest goal of life. So, you know, when you go through crisis, it's meant to deconstruct the false ego. And what is that false ego? That I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, I'm superior. And wow, do you see how in a second God can control? He can tell you can't go out. He can tell you can't go to a restaurant. He can tell you can't do this. What actually is he telling you? He's telling you you're not the controller. He's trying to remove. That's the whole. He's trying to remove that umbrella, that blockage that's preventing you from that energy. And that's a spiritual way in which I can kind of look at the crisis. I had some other thought too. I did go yesterday for lunch at Govardhan Bhakta and Brajaradhe, and they're from South India. And that was quite, and probably on the class, but that was quite amazing. The doshas and the Italy's and things. But on the way there, I was thinking we're upset because the world's been disturbed. So we're attached to what's been disturbed. But in many ways, what we're attached to is miserable. We're attached to, you know, getting up. We're attached to getting on the subway. We're attached to not spending time with our families. We're attached. This is the modern world. So in one sense, in a microwave, it's actually better now. Of course, there's fear of the future and how it will go. But I just thought is that what we're missing is something we shouldn't be missing. We should be missing something much better than that. So anyway, different thoughts have come through my mind in that way. But what we're really missing is Krishna and that energy and connection with Krishna and the beautiful, sweet, holy name, that when we can clear ourselves from that cloud of false ego, gives us that energy and gives us that satisfaction. That we're that what we're actually hankering for. And I think we need more of this. Crisis or no crisis, we need more of Krishna Katha, the philosophy of Krishna, but the rasa. The rasa is so important. The rasa means the descriptions of the relationships with Krishna. Because ultimately, our lives are failures unless we awaken our relationship with Krishna. Because we want love, and love comes in relationship. So we have to, in this lifetime, awaken our relationship with Krishna. And the way it's done, of course, is the philosophy which gears us in a particular way, to behave in a particular way, to understand things in a particular way. So that our hearts will be open when we hear the beauty of Krishna, and we hear the beauty of the love for Krishna, that's something that we will hanker for more than anything else. And God will do whatever it takes to get us to that position. And that's all that's happening around us on a higher platform, because Krishna is in control. Krishna is trying to give himself. So let's all increase our chanting and hearing. Let's all increase our determination. And let's be really, really clear. Let's be really, really clear. What is the goal? And let's be clear how we can awaken it. Anyway, this is the Madhya Leela. The chapter, I believe, is the beginning of the Sankirtan mission. And I believe most of you have been with me. And that begins with the change of consciousness, which comes to a commitment to live by the truth, to live by the truth as represented by those devotees who know the truth. One second. So, so we're now seeing what that looks like. And living by the truth and realizing the truth means to actually feel the truth. To actually feel the truth. That's the piyojana, that's the goal. When by attention and attitude, you're able to see God in the form of the holy name, in the form of the deity, in the form of the devotees, in the form of the Dham, in the form of his philosophy, we're actually able to experience that, the truth. We feel that energy. We feel that energy, that connection in our heart with God. And what does it look like? It looks like this. It looks like this. As Prabhupada said, it's one purport in the Gita, Prabhupada said, where you are thrilled at every moment. You're thrilled because you're feeling God. Bhagavatam is meant to give that. Nigama kalpa toro galitam phalam sukamukat amrita dravyasham yatam bibitam bhagavatam rasamalayam. It's giving that rasa, that juice. And that's really what it's about. The philosophy is meant to open our heart to that experience. But it's that experience which is the goal. That dharma swanushtita pumsa viviksena katasya nopadiye yiti vritim shrama ebhi kevam. Even if you do dharma sunushita perfectly, dharma sunushita viviksena kata nopadiye yitira, if you don't have that rati, if it doesn't lead, the goal is rati. Rati means bhava. The goal is rati. We have to get that bhava. The whole objective of our practices is to get that bhava. That's what sadhana means, the sadhana. Sadhana, the practice means we engage our senses to get that rati. And Lord Chaitanya is so kind, he demonstrates how to get it and what it looks like when you experience that. So he comes back transformed, and he's ready for his mission, which is to taste spontaneous devotional service and to give it. And they're both connected. Because without tasting it, you can't give it. without giving it, it's hard to keep the heart open to that experience. Because compassion is the foundation of spiritual experience. If one is not compassionate, his heart will not be open to any form of love. So now what happens is, it's just describing his life, and it describes, Lord Chaitanya is fortunate. He's walking, and this Ratnagarbha Acharya, this Brahmin, I believe that's his name. He recites the Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya hears as he's doing it with Parama Santosh. Santosh means satisfied. Supreme heartfelt satisfaction. He's reciting it. And that sound, Prabhura Karnate, entered Pravesha. It entered the ears of Lord Chaitanya as he's citing the Bhakti Yoga Shloka Pade, the verses of Bhakti Yoga, the verses that are Vibhata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam, that are this pure love, this pure. And then when Lord Chaitanya hears this, he loses external consciousness and fell to the ground. The emotion overcomes him, because what emotion is it? It's an energy of God that imbues the consciousness in such a way that the consciousness becomes one with that energy, like an iron rod and fire. It's called tadatmika. It becomes one with that energy. And he hears that, and it excites that energy, excites his consciousness in that type of love. And then what happens is, after that, they're verse by verse. I may read verses, I may explain them, but his students, they're just like, wonder. They did, what happened? What happened? That the Lord lost his external consciousness. And they become stuck with wonder. And then Lord Chaitanya, he gets up and he regains his external consciousness. And he repeatedly says, because he's so excited, go on reciting, go on reciting. And Lord Chaitanya is rolling on the ground. This is not sahajya. Sahajya means easily done. Ecstasy is not easily done. That's sahajya. Easily done means without the proper prerequisite. It's like a woman has to go through 9 months of labor before she has a child. If the child shows up before, if the child came easy after a month, she stole the child. So sahaja means easy. But this is not easy. Lord Chaitanya has done the work. And what is that work that Lord Chaitanya has done? He surrendered fully to Guru and Krishna. He has given up the false ego. He has given up the desire for superiority to fully embrace the consciousness and understanding of service. That's not easy. The application of bhakti is difficult. Process simple. Anyone can do it. But we know how attached we are to superiority when someone just tells us we're wrong and how we fight tooth and nail that we're not wrong. Or how easy we get insulted, or how easy when the world moves against our control do we lose our equanimity. So, Lord Chaitanya is just rolling on the ground, but he can't help it. This is not, let me look good as a devotee. Let me look like I'm very advanced. He can't control himself because it's God's energy. And it's entered into the core of his being. And the Lord kept on saying, kept chanting. And the Brahmins reciting. And then Utila Samudra Krishna Sukha Manohar, an enchanting ocean of happiness and Krishna consciousness manifests. An ocean is something that you are submerged in. It's much greater than yourself. So this is an image of the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. It's not something you create. It's something that you enter into. And it's so completely overwhelming. I remember one time I had that experience. One of my godbrothers, the late Purnachand Goswami, he was in New York. He was a nice kirtanier. And we were doing kirtan, it was just a few of us. We were pioneers. There was nothing happening in Krishna consciousness. Anything was something. We went out in Hariam on Fifth Avenue, just a few of us. And the chanting was very dedicated. The chanting was very pure. And, you know, initially the city is so the city is so intrusive and impressive on your consciousness. And you're trying to stay within that bubble of bhakti. But the holy name was so powerful. After a while, I felt that just the whole area up to the tallest skyscraper became the ocean of the holy name. And we were just swimming in the holy name. And we sometimes have that kind of experience. And you know, when you discuss Lord Chaitanya, most of the verses are descriptions of his ecstasy. It's just so overpowering. The earth became soaked with the tears of the Lord, who manifest ecstatic symptoms like tears, shivering, and hair standing on end. Those of you who've heard my classes understand that this is called Sattvika Bhav. It means, Sattvika means it's coming from the pure consciousness. It's not coming from the mind. It's not generated. Usually things are generated from the mind or the intelligence. I feel this way. I think this way. This is beyond that. It's coming directly from the soul and flooding the body. And the body becomes disturbed or agitated, but not agitated in an angry way, but just moved in ecstasy. When the pious Brahmin saw the Lord's great happiness, he recited the verses with increased devotion. This is the definition of bhakti. The definition of bhakti is when there is a shift in the conception and experience of your happiness to the object of your love. In other words, your happiness becomes the happiness of your beloved. Totally. And because that's the case, you can make any sacrifice. for the beloved. So this Brahmin's a great devotee. He's reciting the Bhagavatam, and he sees he gives Lord Chaitanya joy, and he increases. He recites and he increases it with devotion. And we always have to remember that what pleases Krishna is not the objects, but the devotion in which they are offered. Bhakti, I always mention this many times, that bhakti, when there's devotion, there's beauty because you offer the best. But the pleasure that God gets is not just from the beauty of the things you've given, but the consciousness that it represents. And therefore, if something, there's another verse you're reading that Krishna is very dear to those who possess nothing, but who give everything they have to Krishna. So much pleasure. You can imagine if you went to the head of Amazon and he gave you a donation of $100, you wouldn't feel that's much love. But if there was a poor person on the street, and you know, let's say it was for a temple of Krishna, and there was a poor person on the street who gave his life savings, and it was $100. It was the same $100, but one gave immense pleasure, and one gave hardly any pleasure. Why? Because of the love, the sacrifice, the dedication. Seeing his devoted recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord became pleased and embraced him. Prabhupada says three words, and I repeat it many times, Krishna is responsive. That's what a person means. Prabhupada said Krishna doesn't have the defect of impersonality. He reciprocates in love. That's the energy. That's the pleasure. And therefore, he reciprocates with the offerings of his devotees. He not only reciprocates with the offerings of the devotees, but he legitimately creates needs within himself so that the service of the devotees will have meaning. I read this in the Bhakti Sandarbha, which I studied, that if you have devotion for your deity, and in the winter you bathe him with cold water, the deity will get sick. If you really have love, he'll need what you have. Being embraced by the Lord of Vaikuntha, Ratnagarbha became filled with love of God. Ratnagarbha wept aloud as he clasped the Lord's feet. Thus the Brahmin was ensnared in the network of Lord Chaitanya's love. As the Brahmin repeated the recited verses with love and devotion, the Lord loudly exclaimed, go on reciting, go on reciting, go on reciting. Kirtaniya Siddhahari. Vayam natu vitriptatma uttamash, vayam natu vitriptatma uttamashloka vartate yachinvitan rasaganam swade swade. Pade, we never become tired. Rasiganam, of descriptions of love that touch our heart with the same devotion. So Lord Chaitanya is just becoming increasingly more nourished by this. And the devotee is reciprocating and he's chanting. And this is This is what our goal is, to enter into a relationship of eternal love with God, where we can exchange that energy with Him. We want this in our hearts. Bhakti is not just a formality. In fact, there's no formalities, ultimately. It's an exchange of heart, and we want this heart, and we have to pray for this heart. We have to chant for this heart. We don't want to do things just mechanically. We want to get a feeling for God. And when you get that feeling, that is Krishna's mercy more than anything else. On seeing this, the local Brahmin inhabitants were struck with wonder and offered their respectful obeisances. So in a society that's not envious, there will be appreciation of spiritual attainment. That's so important. The proper community. It's so important for our hearts, because in a world of exploitation, we have to remain guarded to not be exploited. But then the heart is also closing to the positive experiences. It's like an exercise. It's like an exercise. We have to exercise and keep our hearts open. So it's so nice to enter into a community where people have common interests, and you can open your heart and feel Krishna. Then Gadadhar said, "Do not recite anymore." And everyone sat around Lord Vishwambar. After a short time, Lord Garunga regained his external consciousness and inquired, "What did you say? What did you say?" The Lord asked, "Have I been restless?" The students replied, "Your actions are glorious. Your actions are glorious." He lost external consciousness. And that's exactly the definition of the highest stage of yoga, is of samadhi, is when the absorption in the object of your meditation is so deep that one is not cognizant of anything outside of that meditation. What power do we have to explain your activities? The Lord's intimate associates intervene. Don't indulge in praising Him. Upon regaining his consciousness, Vishwambar restrained himself. Thereafter, he went with his associates to see the Ganga, the Ganges, the Ganga. It's so pleasing, a spiritual body of water to the mind. And this is just this not, what to speak of the spiritual platform, just on the platform of how the world is constructed by the modes of material nature. When you're in nature, which by nature is sattva and goodness, just the vision of nature moves the mind to the same platform as that which you are viewing. Therefore, for example, cleanliness is the object of sight in the mode of goodness. And when you see it, the same mode that you're perceiving will begin to manifest in your mind. So there's so much agitation. It was spiritual, so much disturbance, restlessness. It must have been exhausting to Lord Chaitanya. Emotional experience are exhausting. So let's take shelter of the Ganga. He offered his obeisances to the Ganga and sprinkled water on his head. Then he sat down on the bank of the Ganges with his associates. Just as the son of Maharaj Nanda enjoyed various sporting activities on the bank of the Jamuna while surrounded by the cowherd boys, the son of Sachi enjoyed discussing topics of Krishna on the bank of the Ganges surrounded by his devotees. So seva sadaka rupena siddha rupena chatrahi. That what you see in Krishna Leela is also there in Gaur Leela, just in a more accessible and contemporary form. So as Krishna was surrounded by the cowherd boys, Lord Chaitanya is surrounded by his friends. After some time, Vishwambar sent everyone home and then returned to his own home. Then the Lord of the entire universe took his meal and then glanced towards Yoga Nidra. After the night passed, all the students came and sat down with their books to study. So a new day. The Lord quickly returned from his bath in the Ganga, and after taking his seat, began to explain the texts. The Lord's explanations did not deal with anything that was not related to Krishna. He explained every word in relationship to Krishna's devotional service. The students inquired, what is the definition of dhatu or verbal root? The Lord replied, that which is called Krishna's energy. O brothers, listen as I explain the aphorisms about dhatu. I would like to see who has the power to refute my explanation. So, yeah, it's Lord Chaitanya's interest is Krishna. He's above the regulative principles, above prescribed duties. It means he doesn't need anything for his purification, any social formalities, etc. And that's intensely his interest. And that interest is called lobha or greed. It's all consuming. And therefore, there's certain things that he has a very, very difficult time doing. He can't now teach just ordinary Sanskrit grammar. It's too dry. It's a desert for him. It's a desert. He can't teach it. And I explained that before, and I initially saw it. Jiva Goswami, based on what Lord Chaitanya was doing, he wrote Harinam Amrita Vyakaran, the grammar of Lord Chaitanya, the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's names. Harinam Amrita, the nectar of the names, Vyakaran, the grammar of the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's names. Of Krishna's names, Harinam, Krishna's name. It's a beautiful grammar. If you see it, you'll just be amazed that every grammatical rule is a name and pastime of Krishna in a very unique way, very ingenious. So that when you learn all the grammatical rules, at the same time, you're absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. Now he'll give an example. All the kings we have seen had luxurious bodies decorated with gold and beautified with fragrant sandalwood paste. Although their words determine a person's prosperity or death, hear what happens to them when their dhatu leaves the body. So he's doing, dhatu also means life air. No one knows where the beauty of their bodily limbs goes, as some bodies are burnt and some are buried. The energy of Krishna dwells in the body of every living entity as the dhatu or active principle. So the dhatu is the verbal root. And then by grammatical rules, you can change it into the ablative, the dative, the nominative case, etc. But there's a root. So he's explaining that the root of existence, the active principle, is Krishna. All affection and devotion is meant for him alone. Because of illusion, teachers cannot understand this. Yet consider carefully whether I'm right or wrong. There are persons to whom we now offer obeisances and respect. When the active principle leaves their body, we must take bath after touching them. The son who is happily nourished on the lap of his father touches the fire of cremation to the mouth of his father after the active principle leaves him. That which is called dhatu is the power of Krishna, the beloved of all. Is there anyone who can deny this? Oh, brothers, please render unflinching devotional service unto Krishna, whose energy is most pure and worshipable. Chant the name of Krishna, worship Krishna, hear the name of Krishna, day and night meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. Bala Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Shuna Krishna Nam, Aha Nisha Sri Krishna Chana, Kara Dhyan. Anyone who offers a little water or Durga grass at the lotus feet of the Lord is never subjected to the punishment of Yamaraj. Worship the lotus feet of Nandanandana, who delivered Agasura, Bakasura, and Putana. By remembering that the holy name was not really that of his son, Ajamil attained Vaikuntha. Therefore, worship the lotus feet of Krishna. While serving his lotus feet, Shiva goes about naked. The service of those lotus feet is desired by Lakshmi. Take the straw between your teeth and worship Krishna, whose lotus feet are glorified by Lord Ananta. As long as there is life and strength in your body, you should render devotional service to the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadan, Charane Dariya Bali, Krishna Dehaman. Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, Krishna is your life and wealth. I fall at your feet and beg you to engage your minds in thinking of Krishna. In the mood of his servant, the Lord continually narrated his own glories until half the day had passed. The charmed students heard the Lord's explanations with rapt attention. None of them dared to open their mouth. Know for certain that they are all eternal servants of Krishna. When Krishna himself is teaching them, can there be anyone else? After a while, Vishwambar manifested his external consciousness. He felt ashamed by looking at everyone's face there. So, anyway, he was absorbed. He was absorbed. And it's a kind of an important point. And it's what the Bhagavatam is based on. I'll use an English idiom. He didn't want to beat around the bush. There's an objective or goal, and it's Krishna. And without that objective or goal, everything else becomes useless. I had that realization when they describe the perils of family life in the Bhagavatam, and it's so heavy. What they're doing is explaining the perils of family life and condemning it when it becomes one's goal, rather than an ashram or means to actually attain a goal. Then you'll see verses that glorify it. So Lord Chaitanya wants to make that message clear. And Prabhupada was like that. Prabhupada just wanted us to understand the objective or goal. Same thing in the Bhagavatam. Buri Burini Karmani. There are many, many works. Tell us the goal. What is the absolute and ultimate good? So this is the most important thing, is to understand the goal. Otherwise, it doesn't have much use. Therefore, Prabhupada didn't stress actually learning Sanskrit, because he was fearful, which so many people do, that they lose the objective of it, which is to understand the Shastra to become Krishna conscious, and their goal becomes to be learned as a Sanskrit pandit in itself. So Prabhupada actually, he had such a vision, he just didn't stress it. He didn't want people to get, especially intellectual people, to become distracted, especially when they were immature. Okay, anybody like to share any reflection from the class? I really feel this is nice. Yeah.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. One reflection that I appreciate it is the way you gave us a way to recognize when the false ego is at work. You know, do we feel insulted? You know, how do we react when we are told we're wrong? You know, these are different ways in which we can recognize.
Yeah, because we don't think we have it sometimes.
Right.
And then it's kind of, you know, someone just scratches the surface and our monster comes out. Thank you, Gil. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Anyone ever have a reflection?
Anyone? Maharaj.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, it's Bhakti Devi.
Oh, what a nice name. Okay, yeah.
Maharaj, can you explain to me the difference between, you were talking about Rakti and Bhav, the difference between Bhav and Prema?
Yeah, it's the difference between the sun rays and the sun. They're the same thing, but one is much more condensed. Prema is called Sandrandana Visheshatma. Sandra means like, if you have a piece of metal, you can't put a pin through it. So bhava is prema, but it's prema ankur. Ankur means a sprout. So prema is the flower and bhava is the sprout. But I would not minimize that, because it's actually our goal. And if we got bhava, it would overwhelm our heart. It's just prema is even more intense than that. Yeah, that's the difference. Laxity and density.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Bhakti Devi. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Aaron.
Hey, good. Yeah.
I liked what you said about crisis being meant to deconstruct our false ego, the sense that we're the controller. I keep repeating that to myself during my week. I enjoyed the image of Krishna as the sun, but easily obscured by the umbrellas that we put up ourselves.
Yeah, this deconstruction of the false ego. Because generally you can see in the people, you know, we generally think we can do what we want. I mean, especially the elite. I have the money, I can do what I want, I can go where I want. Most people are humbled just by their ordinary circumstances. But, you know, America is less humbled. There seems to be more freedom or more ability or more power, but it's really humbling. I want to go on vacation. Well, you can't. You know, I want to go to a restaurant. Well, you can't. I want to go out, but you can't. But I feel it's like this famous Twilight Zone I don't know, probably most of you watched that, but I'm not sure. Well, when I grew up, it was a famous science fiction show that we all watched, and it was brilliant. And the one, well, the two that stuck in my mind and still give me emotion to this day, well, one was this bank teller. And this bank teller, all he wanted to do is read books, just read books, read books. So every day at his lunch break, he would go in the vault where no one was, and he would just read books, read books. And then all of a sudden, you see that there's a shaking, and the door closes on the vault, and the vault starts to shake. And then the door opens to the vault, and he looks around, and everything was destroyed. And all you see is rubble. And you hear like Rod Serling's voice in the background describing what's happening. And he looks around and everything has been destroyed, but he was saved because he went into the bank vault. And then he's going and then he sees the library. And he's so happy. He doesn't care that the world's destroyed. And he says, books, books, books. He's so happy. So many books, books. And he's so happy. And then he trips and he breaks his glasses. To this day, I feel for him. It was so sad. But I feel like that. I mean, for me to stay inside, that's my dream. Just chanting and reading and writing, that's my dream. Okay. Anybody else have a reflection?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Braja.
Braja, good.
I like that you said that bhakti is informal. It makes me think of like that example that you give, like Obama at home, you know, like someone really important at home. It's just a way sweeter and different mood. You know, so bhakti is sweet, kind of informal sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Krishna means God at home. God at home. But right. When I say no formalities, there are kind of etiquette and formalities, but they all must be accompanied by some feeling. That's the point. Okay. Thank you, Braja. Okay, anybody else have a reflection? Okay.
Hi, Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah.
My reflection was that I really appreciated when you said compassion is the foundation of spiritual practice, and without compassion, we can't feel.
Right, our hearts. It has to open our hearts. If you're not compassionate, your heart will be closed also to Krishna. Compassion is bhakti reflected on others. Bhakti is to God. It was in Jivadharma. How did it put? Anyway, okay. But anyway, thank you. That was the point. Okay, anybody else? Okay, anybody like to say hello? Or Gail, you have any questions?
Hi. Yes, Maharaj, thank you.
Okay.
Can you just elaborate on this fact that, you know, in the land of intimacy, there are still formalities?
Well, Krishna would carry the shoes of his father on his head because he was the son. Like that.
But that's a formality?
Yeah.
But how?
Because it's something you have to do. In relationship,
he has to carry them on his head?
In relationship to your father, there's a certain decorum that Krishna also follows. Of course, it's done out of love, but it's also some type of... And anyway, I'm not sure I said in the land of intimacy, there's still formalities.
No, I said that.
Oh, okay. 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 There's still a certain... there's still a certain... you know, behavior.
I'm trying to reconcile the two.
Yeah, okay. There's still a certain type of behavior. That's what I meant. It's a certain type of behavior. Like, for example, I was thinking more of something like this. What I meant is something like this. I was thinking of something like this. I'll give you the example. Is when I was to take sannyas, at that particular time when I was to take sannyas, you had to take from the person who was the GBC of the area. It was called Zonal Acharya. They were the gurus. But I didn't have faith in the renunciation of the person who was in charge of that particular area. And it was proven right in the past, although I have nothing against him. But so I consulted a senior Vaishnava and I said, this is my problem that, you know, I'm supposed to take sannyas, but the person who is the acharya of this area, I don't have faith in him as a renunciate. I said sannyas is just a formality, right? And then he said to me, he said, there's no formalities in Vaishnav relationships. And what it means is there's nothing, that's what I mean, there's no formalities, there's nothing external. But still, there would be some kind of relationship. That's the point I was trying to make. Still, there would be some parameters. It would still be done with feeling. That's what I'm saying. So Krishna would have a father, and there'd be a relationship, but there'd be no formalities in terms of it would really be done out of love. Like, for example, he carried the shoes of the father on his head. He would do it out of love. But still, it was part of his responsibility at the same time. But there's no formalities in the sense that you just do things out of rote. That's the point I was making. Okay? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? That's it. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna. I'm Raj. It's Shimunu Jaya.
Hi, Krishna, Raj.
Okay, Kalachandri, Shantanjali. Great. Okay, anybody else?
I'm Raj. It's Shimunu Jaya.
Haribo, Shimunu Jaya. Hi. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Lal Govinda.
Lal Govinda, okay. Anybody else? Just
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Jai Kishori.
Okay. See you at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
In a way. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Kamala.
Oh, Kamala, right? Okay. Yeah. Good. And Mukunda?
Yes.
Let's talk right after this, okay?
Okay, yeah, sounds good.
Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Gandharika.
I got that book. I'm reading it now.
Oh, excellent.
Of course, I just got here. Maybe it just came awaiting, but I'll write a little something soon. If you send me your husband's email address, I'll just write it directly to him. Okay.
Excellent. I will do that. Thank you.
Okay.
Maharaj, it's Bhakti Devi. Is your regular phone number connected again?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, we should touch base this week. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Everyone has more time than usual, it seems. Okay. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Gumaraj. This is Kishori Radha.
And Tota Gopina.
Okay. Very good. Anybody else? Okay. If anyone is not on the Zoom, I'm going to give an 11 o'clock class on turning weaknesses into strength. And I'll also do it from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. You'll also be able to see me. Okay. Thank you all. Hare Krishna.